I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Jessica Rhodes. Jessica is the founder and CEO of InterviewConnections.com, the premier guest booking agency for podcasters and guest experts, and she is the acclaimed author of Interview Connections, How to Rock the Podcast from Both Sides of the Mic. Jessica is the host of Interview Connections TV, where each week she, in fact, helps her viewers rock the podcast from both sides of the mic. She hosts, co-hosts three podcasts, Roads to Success, The Podcast Producers, and The Parenting Roads. The Podcast Producers was selected by Apple as a how-to podcast show in iTunes and has also been included in the syllabus for a course about podcasting and audio journalism at Western University in Ontario, Canada. Jessica has been a speaker at Podcast Movement, Podfest.us, and Dream Business Academy. She lives in Rhode Island with her husband and two kids. Jessica, it gives me great pleasure to welcome you to Smashing the Plateau today.
David, thank you so much for having me on the show.
So what kinds of experiences have you had that have helped you understand what it takes to smash a plateau?
So in a umbrella way to explain it, like my experiences have all been like my main experiences in my professional life have been very, very different. So I've been an entrepreneur now for about 4 years. And before that, for 6 years, I was a nonprofit community organizer. And I'm 29 years old. So that's basically sums up my professional career. And those two things are so, so different, but so similar in a lot of ways. And so when I, like, towards the end of my professional career in nonprofit community organizing and political activism, I mean, that's kind of the time where I felt like I was on that plateau. I kind of always saw myself kind of moving up in the organization, working my way up. I went from canvasser going door to door to trainer, manager, staff director, you know, assistant director, staff director. And once I reached that top position of leading my, you know, directing my own staff, I felt a little bit stuck. Like that was kind of the plateau that stands out to me. And I wasn't really sure like how much further I was going to go. And the thing was that I wanted to then start a family with my husband. We wanted to have kids. And so all my goals and what I wanted to do in my professional life just kind of changed. Like suddenly I didn't have the motivation to keep working up in that organization and getting, you know, promotions and jobs and like moving to the national office, et cetera. It all kind of changed when I wanted to start a family. And that is where the kind of the entrepreneurialism kind of sparked in me is I thought, all right, well, there's a different way that I can keep growing professionally and also, you know, have a family and be a mom.
You know, it's funny how circumstances can impact our goals and our plans. And it may not be something that is as direct as a market change that impacts mm-hmm. your current business. Or if you're an employee, something that happens in your company that causes you to plateau, or maybe you have kind of reached the peak of what you're able to do with your skills. It's interesting how other kinds of personal circumstances can also impact goals and make us feel like we're at a plateau and we need to make a shift.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because, you know, your job and, you know, your professional life and your career and then your personal life, they're so interwoven. They affect each other in so many different ways. It's like there's not a personal life and a work life. They affect each other. And so when you feel like you're in a plateau in your work life, usually there's probably something in your personal life that could change to make you feel more invigorated at work and vice versa.
Yeah, and I can certainly relate. I started my working life as an engineer and I was probably close to your age when I made a shift into the nonprofit world and went into executive roles in the nonprofit sector, which was a, you know, pretty big shift. And looking back on it, I would say that in many ways, I probably felt like I was at a plateau in my last job as an engineer, even though I was still fairly young, you know, as far as professional career is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, given the kinds of shifts that you've made, what impact has the feedback you've heard from other people had on how you've made your choices?
So the impact of feedback from other people. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is that when I was towards the end of my nonprofit job and I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and change things in my career because of what I wanted to do in my personal life, which is, you know, be an at-home mom. The feedback I got, I mean, number one is I turned to my parents and I said, this is what I want to do. I want to be a stay-at-home mom, but I need an income somehow. What should I do? And their feedback was overwhelmingly supportive of my decision and my desire to be a stay-at-home mom. So right there, just having the support and kind of like approval from people that matter in your life, that was really positive. You know, so I remember it was Thanksgiving of 2012 when I said to my parents, you know, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. I was pregnant at that point. I was like 5 months pregnant. I was like, I want to be a stay-at-home mom when the baby's born. No idea where I'm going to get an income. Am I going to work part-time? And that's when my dad said, listen, you can do this. Because my dad's an entrepreneur. He has an online business. So he said, there is a way that you can do this. You can be a virtual assistant. Again, I was totally clueless to that whole possibility. I mean, I thought I'd have to work part-time like in the evenings at a restaurant. I had no idea what the other options were other than, you know, having a full-time job 9 to 5. And so he said, listen, I'll be your first client. You can be on my team. You can be a virtual assistant in my business. I'll give you work and you can test the waters, but you have to learn from me. You have to, you know, he's written books about business and marketing. He's done videos, weekly videos for like 6 years. He goes, you have to watch my videos and learn from me, but I will support you and I will do everything I can to help you be successful if this is what you want to do.
Jessica, how important do you think it is to have somebody like your father who can provide some guidance when you're entering something new?
I think it is so important. I think it's nearly impossible to do it without that, without the guidance. And I feel lucky that I have a dad who could show me how to start a business and also be there to be my first client too, because you can have somebody that says, I'll show you how to do everything, but they're not necessarily going to raise their hand and say, you know, I'll be your first customer. So I think it's so important. But beyond that, it's just important to have the support, you know, from your family too. So there was my parents who were, you know, not only supportive, but actually like giving me the support of providing me with that first income. But then there's also my husband who was totally supportive of the idea of doing it, you know, because I think it is impossible to, you know, talk about smashing plateaus. It's often like jumping off a cliff and trying something different that you don't know if it's going to work out. There's this kind of image, this meme that I saw really early on where entrepreneurship is jumping off a cliff and building your parachute on the way down. And I think that is so, so true. And it doesn't even have to be entrepreneurship. It can be any time you just try something different. When you smash that plateau, you're trying something that you haven't done before, but you've got to change things up. And if you don't have the support of people in your life, whether it's your husband or your wife or your parents or people that are close to you, it's really hard to make that leap. And it's really hard to make the change that you want to make unless you have that approval. I mean, I feel like as humans, we all seek the approval of people. We all want people that, you know, whether we're 65 years old or 25 years old, there's something in us that requires and really thrives when someone says, you're doing the right thing. I support you with this. And when you don't have that, it makes it really hard.
Yeah. So for people who don't have somebody close in who has gone through what they're planning to do that's new, so let's say it's like you going from employment to entrepreneurship, which many people do. And nowadays, so many people are doing this midlife.
Yeah.
They've peaked in the kind of situation they're in, or their sector has changed. You know, lots of industries are going through transformations, and people who may have been working in an industry for 20 or 30 years suddenly have to do something new. I mean, seen it a lot. You and I are both in the media business, and certainly this has happened big time with traditional media and journalism, where people who are very senior and very skilled suddenly are in jeopardy of losing their job, or they're certainly not in a position to advance because the companies that employ them don't have the resources to continue to employ so many people at high salaries.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and if you're a journalist and you've never had to make your own way and you're not familiar with how the new media world works, how can you actually step forward. And if you don't have somebody to help you who's done it, in particular, if you're in a field where the industry is changing so rapidly that people don't really know how it works, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge question, and it is really scary. And sometimes it almost feels easier to say, you know, this isn't fair and this isn't right. And like, I shouldn't lose my job. I should, you know, I'm worth so much. I've had so much experience. You know, I was just talking this weekend, I was watching The Office, which is a great show when you just need to escape and laugh. And they were talking about that it was an episode from years ago. And they said, oh, I rented a movie at Blockbuster. Well, Blockbuster's gone. And they, you know, they probably had the opportunity to buy Netflix and totally, you know, be the monopoly when it comes to online streaming, but they didn't. And they're no longer around. And while it may seem like an unfair thing, but your job may become obsolete because of just the way everything is evolving in the world of business and our society and our culture. And yes, let's just say, for example, as a journalist, maybe your job at a newspaper is going away. And on one hand, you could say, this isn't right, this isn't fair. But on the other hand, you could do something that's really uncomfortable and you can learn how to start a podcast and start your own business. There's a guy named Anthony Ponce who left his job as an NBC reporter and he started a podcast, started driving for Lyft, and now makes money by having a podcast with advertisers. He drives for Lyft, so there's a small income there, but he's interviewing his passengers. And so now he can do things on his terms. And sure, the pay is probably a little less, but he's so much happier. So that gap there between when you are maybe like leaving a job or unsure of if there's a future with where you are right now and then what is on the other side, it's so unknown, but you have to, like, there's really no other choice because kind of complaining or being unhappy or thinking it's unfair isn't really an option. And I think that going back to what we talked about is what if you don't have a mentor or somebody like right there who can help you? There's the challenge of finding the right people. And so maybe it's finding someone in person that you can talk to and that can guide you, or it's going to podcasts and YouTube and blogs and like following people. I've been kind of like interested in homeschooling. My kids are still there. My son's almost 4. So we have a little bit of time to figure out if we want to do that. I don't really know. I mean, I know some people that homeschool, but I've largely went to podcasts and blogs and have just been reading books. So you can seek out the mentorship and guidance, and it might be virtual mentorship where you don't have that, you know, someone holding your hand and giving you a call and checking in, but you can kind of create that for yourself. So yeah, I think just going back to the topic of the show with, you know, smashing the plateau, it's like we kind of have to put on our big girl panties and our big boy pants and like deal with the fact that it kind of sucks when you have to smash a plateau because you go into a world of unknown. You might have to start kind of at the bottom of a new ladder, but I think you have to have faith that what's on the other side is going to be so much better.
Right. So let's look at your situation. How did you learn podcasting?
So it's funny how things kind of come full circle, because when I look back, I studied communication in college. I've always had an interest in talking and being on stage. I did theater. And now I've always thought, like when I was a kid, I always thought that talking for a living would be so great. And now I do. But there was a lot of dots that had to be connected to get me to this point. So when my dad said, hey, I'll be your first client, I'll help you start your virtual assistant business, one of the tasks that he had me do, in addition to like literally checking links on his website, I mean, it was so boring, let me tell you. That was not fun. I did not feel like I went to college and worked my way up in a big organization to check links on a website. But that was one of the tasks I had to do to kind of come up with this new career of having my own business. So one of the things that I was doing for him was getting him booked for podcast interviews. He'd already been doing a little bit in his business. He had another person helping him. He said, I think you're going to be really good at this, so why don't you get me booked for podcast interviews? And so that was really a start of me making a whole business in podcast guest booking, as I did it for him. It worked really well. He referred some more clients to me. I saw this opportunity. People were communicating to me that there was a demand for connecting guests with hosts and that there was a need. So I started my own business around it. I restructured the way that clients paid me. It was no longer, I'll work this many hours for you for this much money. It was, here's my flat rates. And then as I grew my business booking guests and being kind of the behind the scenes person, I built out a team, realized, okay, for me to scale and to grow, I need to be marketing. I need to be in front of the curtain. I need to be getting myself out there as the expert on this because people like working with experts. So then I started my own podcast. And I had no idea how to edit audio or anything. I didn't know what mic to get. All that was new. And so I sought out the right experts. I got connected with Corey Coates from a company called Podfly. He helped me. I became their client. You know, they edit my show and I learned a lot from him. I actually me and him started a show together called The Podcast Producers. So I've learned a ton about podcasting by working with him and having a partnership with him in a podcast. And I just learn as I go. Like every week I'm listening to other shows about podcasting and just constantly immersing myself in, you know, and educating myself on the topic and then also doing it right. You know, just hosting my own show, marketing my show, seeing what works and communicating that to my community.
Yeah, I think I also heard a couple things in there that are really important, Jessica. One is communicating with people about their needs and desires, listening for what you can offer that will solve their problems, and at the same time also thinking about how to provide the solution in a scalable way.
Yeah. Oh, you're totally right. You know, some people say, how did you get into having a, you know, a podcast guest book a business? I said, I did not say, I like podcasts. I think I can book guests. Let's see if anybody wants this. It came by way of seeing that there was a need for something. And so I think that is when people want to start a business, a lot of times they look at what they enjoy doing and then try to figure out how to make a business around it. You really need to start a business around a product or service that people need. It's a lot harder to convince people that they need the thing that you want to sell them than it is to sell them something that they know they already need.
Yeah, that's big time. Talk to me a little bit about this process of figuring out when it makes sense to partner with somebody and when it makes sense to try to do something on your own.
I really don't encourage people to have partnerships a lot because I think more often than not, they get really sticky and really confusing. And in a way, it's sort of like marrying someone. Like, how do I know I'm going to want to be doing this with you in so many years or so many months? So as an entrepreneur and sort of a lone wolf in some ways, I much prefer to just do stuff on your own because then you don't have to be asking someone or saying, hey, should we do this? You can just make your own decisions. I mean, one, I think it's sort of a gut check. Like, does this person feel like somebody that I'm going to really mesh with? Do we complement each other's skills? And if it does feel like it's a good fit, always having everything in writing and having really clear guidelines of what will happen if this happens, what will we do if this happens, if we make money doing this, how will we split the revenue, who's responsible for what. So when Corey approached me about doing a show together, I said, okay, well, write, what are you thinking? Write it down like on a, you know, I don't know if we actually like signed a contract, but it was in writing and there was an understanding of this is who's going to do what. So for us, everything is 50-50. And there's also an out. So we do our show in seasons. So every season we have the ability to say, how did that go? Good or bad? Do we want to do it again? Yes or no. So there's a really clear opportunity to mutually say, are we going to keep going with this? So I think that's really important because if that's unknown, it can be uncomfortable if like one person wants to be out, the other person doesn't want to be out. You don't know when to talk about it. So I think partnerships can be really sticky, but you have to, communication is key. You have to openly communicate everything. Don't assume the other person knows what you're thinking. I know that because my co-host is a male and men don't read women's minds in any way. So you always have to openly communicate everything.
Yeah, it's sad but true.
Nor should women read men's minds, but we sometimes try to, I think, a lot more.
Yeah, the truth is, yeah, just trying to read somebody's mind is often challenging. And and it's really important to have the main principles in writing because you can avoid a lot of trouble.
Definitely. My husband's a lawyer, so I have learned over the years and just like have witnessed and experienced, like get everything in writing, read it, you know, don't sign anything you don't read.
Right. And it doesn't have to be complicated. I think just having the main points down, the same thing is true when you're working with clients and customers. It's really important to have what it is you're promising in writing. And getting feedback about how well you're meeting the customer's expectations is also important to get in writing. How can we sell more or do a better job of meeting our customers' needs unless we actually hear from them? And particularly if we get it in writing, it just helps make it a lot more concrete.
Yes, actually, something just popped into my head, David, that I think is so worth highlighting. Not only getting stuff in writing, but like having conversations with people over the phone. I have found to be the best way to improve any service, to get new ideas. When I have phone conversations with clients, I mean, they give me the best ideas about what to do differently in my business, what to do better in my business. That right there is a good way to smash plateaus, is actually just to talk to people. And I think it's interesting, depending on whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. I'm an extrovert. So like, I think by talking things out, which really helps me like smash plateaus and get past, you know, ruts and things like that, is talking things through. But just from a business perspective, getting on the phone with your clients and just saying, how are we doing? And what could we do better? And what are we doing well? You're going to get so much more out than if you email that. People don't want to email. They don't want to write. But if you get them on the phone, oh man, you get the best ideas ever.
Right. And you know, it's interesting. I hear this from many people who are very successful at running huge virtual businesses, that they always spend time talking one-on-one with their target audience.
Oh, the best thing you can do for client retention is get on the phone with people. And the same thing, I think it's worth noting, since we're on a podcast, is podcasters are always wanting to know, how do I grow my audience? How do I get more people listening? The best thing you can do to grow your audience is focus on your current listeners, because they're the best advertisers. Them telling their friends to listen to your show is the best form of advertising that you could ever ask for. So just by focusing on the people that are already there, that are either your clients, they're already your listeners, focus on them and they'll do your advertising for you.
Absolutely. Well, Jessica, these are so many great tips to smashing plateaus. I wondered if you could talk about somebody you know personally who has been successful at smashing plateaus.
So, you know, when you first asked me this question, the first person that came to my mind, and I'll say him, is actually my husband. And I don't know if he's good at smashing plateaus because he often finds himself on them, but either way, he is really good at smashing plateaus. He tends to, I think he's a little bit of an entrepreneur in that he finds himself bored after every so often. He's had a lot of different jobs over the years that we've been together. The thing that I think makes him good at smashing plateaus is he's really involved and is always seeking out. He's always learning. He's always educating himself. He's always being active in organizations that he cares about. And if he finds himself bored, he does something about it. He talks to people. He's, even when he's not looking for a job, he's always looking at job ads because he always wants to know what's out there. So yeah, my husband, I think, is someone that he either finds himself on plateaus a lot or he gets off of them. But
that's great. That's great. What's your husband's name?
Jamie Rhodes.
Yeah, great example. And what can we look forward to in the near future from you? What's coming up for Jessica?
Well, as we are recording this, I've just launched my book called Interview Connections, How to Rock the Podcast from Both Sides of the Mic. So I know that this will be airing in a couple of months, but it'll be available. I'm selling it for free at interviewconnectionsbook.com. It's just a shipping and handling charge that people have to get the paperback copy. And that was huge for me to get that book written and launched and out. So if you're interested in podcasting as a guest or a host, my book is really helps you get started and monetize it.
That's great. Congratulations on getting your book out.
Thank you.
I know it's a
Thank
big
you so
step.
Much. Yeah, it's big. So it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Jessica, how can listeners learn more about you?
My home base on the web is jessicarhodes.biz. That's RHODES.biz. And I have a weekly podcast, blog, and videos. So jessicarhodes.biz is a great place to go to learn more about me and connect with me on social media, etc.
Well, Jessica, it's been great having you on the show today, talking about what it takes to smash a plateau. Some of the things we talked about include how to start something new, how to get support, how to look for support, when to partner, when not to partner, getting approval, feeling good about what we're doing, and actually being successful. So it's been great having you on today. My guest today has been Jessica Rhodes, the CEO and founder of Interview Connections. Thanks again, Jessica, for joining us.
Thanks, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. 0770. You never know what you might find out.